You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports, the GCAT is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, saddle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. The streak continues. Yes, your New Orleans Pelicans. 10 is the number now that the winning streak is up to. We'll talk about the win at Sacramento. Yes, we'll also talk about the ankle. AD injured.
A little bit of trash talk. Had to make it feel it a little bit.
But Drew Holiday comes in to save the day. We'll give you the very latest on his ankle as he landed on it, Pepita. I showed you the video a little bit today. It looked like it was a little bit painful.
We're talking, what, 6'10 height?
You know, 6'10, 6'11. Sometimes they call him 7 feet.
Sometimes they call him 7 feet.
You come down on an ankle. You come down on a foot. Yeah. His left ankle came down on someone's foot. And, yeah. So we'll give you the very latest tonight. He's going to get an MRI on it today. We will talk with Sean Kelly, voice of your New Orleans Pelicans on the Pelicans Radio Network, coming up at 12:30, 12:45. Tom Graffanini previews the Tulane Temple game on the American Athletic Conference Tournament. It's coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. Cody Worsham. We'll take care of the LSU duties as the Tigers take on Mississippi State in the SEC tournament in the round there. Don't forget Nichols tomorrow, 7:30, right here on ESPN New Orleans. They're awaiting the winner of Stephen F. Austin and UCA. So Central Arkansas, waiting for them to see who is going to win that game before they find out who they play tomorrow. So that game can be listened to tomorrow. And again, we'll go over a little college baseball that took over. Dino Hansen is Pell's report as well coming up in hour number three. Hour one, the Sports Hangover, always brought to you by the King Firm. Don't forget, do not play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King at 504-909-KING. Number of ways you can listen to the show. Of course, as always, you can tune us in each and every day here from 12 to 3. Pepito, you can also use the TuneIn Radio app if you're in and out of the car. If you want, you know, I don't know. The weather's been absolutely gorgeous. You did it yesterday.
Yeah, so why would you be inside?
Well, that's my point. You did it yesterday. You went walking the levee out there to Lakefront after the arena.
Absolutely.
It was beautiful. But you can still listen to Matt because he would have been on at 3. TuneIn Radio. It's a free app. It's called TuneIn. Just type it in. TuneIn Radio. Type in
They can do that.
ESPN 100.3, and boom, there it is. You save it, and every time you open it from that point on, it'll be one of your defaults.
Or if you got the SoundCloud app.
SoundCloud app, either
all of
way.
The podcasts are up there.
iTunes, Google Play, the works. You can do all of that as
all
well.
All the things.
Yes. But anyway, it's definitely a way you can listen to the show. If you're not in your car or by a radio, you plug in your headset, your Bluetooth headsets, whatever. Do you have Bluetooth headsets?
I do, yeah.
I love them.
Love them,
by the way. I remember like when the 8 came out and they were like, there's nowhere to plug in your headsets. Dude, I love it. Because if you jog and you run, there's no more catching it or getting caught. I love it.
Put them on there, hands-free,
Bluetooth
no wires.
Speakers when you're grilling outside or
little
crawfish boiling.
Oh, kidding?
I was so looking forward to doing that this weekend. I didn't find out it was going to rain.
Yeah.
Why can't it be like what it is right now or yesterday, right? Today, right now.
We have a back patio that I don't think you've ever seen before.
Well, I mean,
we can have a crawfish boil out there.
It's not the same.
An official.
Yeah, but I have a yard with pretty trees and kids running, the dogs barking.
Kids?
Yeah.
Did you pluralize kids?
Sorry, kid. Kid.
Is there something Anna doesn't know about?
No.
And the rest of the public?
She definitely, if she doesn't know, then I wouldn't know.
Can I text her what you just said?
No, we're good.
I'll send her the bit.
We're good.
Okay.
I wouldn't mind another one.
Oh, another kid.
Yeah.
Put you in another wife.
No.
I'm going to tell her that, too.
No, it's not. No.
I want to tell her that. Hold on.
Not at all.
Anna, Gus's wife. I'm doing that right now.
You're a joke.
You can keep talking. I'm going to text her.
Give a quick shout out to Dion over at Safelite. Have you ever gotten your windshield replaced?
Yeah. Oh, and legit at Safelite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so quick. It's insane. And he had to deal with not only me, but the dog. And Carver running in and out. He thought it was like a little London Bridge is falling down sort of thing. He just kept going underneath the glass. And he's not tall enough to go and hit the new windshield that's about to get replaced, you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I'm like, watch his head. And I keep forgetting he's not that tall. He's growing, but, you know, the last thing I need is the new windshield that's about to be replaced that I'm paying out of pocket. It needs to go and shatter on the ground right then and there. Anyway, the reason I'm giving him a shout-out, he listens to the station.
Oh, good.
He said automatically, and then he saw that, you know, I was on the work order today, and he was like, wow, you're the Gus Cattingell.
I've had to use Safe Flight once.
He didn't necessarily say the Gus Cattingell.
Oh, no one's going to say, you're the only one that's going to say the Gus Cattingell.
He said something along the lines, it's not many of your names, so I figured it'd be you.
God. You would come up with
that. It's a little starstruck.
What?
I offered to autograph, you know, like the old windshield.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
And, really? He said he had to go. He had a couple of more windshields to go do.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
But anyway. Dion, thanks, man.
You're full of it.
No, he was there.
You're absolutely no
Dion's
you're full
for
of
real.
It.
I didn't make him up.
No, I believe that Dion's a real person.
Okay.
I just
he actually he loves the fantasy football segment with Tim Haney.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah.
Chimes in via social media at Twitter at ESPN Radio NOLA, where it is the place that you can chime in today as well with some questions of the day. We'll come up with some, especially considering we have WrestleMania tickets to give away.
Hey, everybody, it's Gus Kendengall.
Well, actually, not WrestleMania tickets today.
No.
You can qualify
to get WrestleMania tickets.
To get one of two pairs of WrestleMania premium seats.
That is right.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, got to get the details out. It's one qualifier per day,
mm-hmm.
one qualifier per person.
Mm-hmm.
That's 10 qualifiers total.
Mm-hmm.
Two winners, two tickets.
Chad won yesterday,
so congrats to him. I still feel bad about the
Rusty
that called in at first.
I'm terrible with names.
He got nervous.
But
he
I remember
nervous.
Rusty.
Yeah.
Here's the best thing about it, Rusty. You can keep calling, and if you know Joey happens to pick you again, you're more than welcome to try again.
Yeah. It's not just one and done.
Yeah.
Are we going to do the entrance music again today?
I don't know today? What we're doing today.
I kind of dug the entrance music.
You kind of like the entrance
because
music?
Because we only
again?
Did two of them.
How about we do an old school entrance music.
Yeah, today. I want to mix it up. We'll go old school. We'll
for
go
maybe
school.
The yesteryear fan.
Yeah.
Charlie also suggested we maybe should do something for maybe not the hardcore serious wrestling fan. Mm-hmm. My thing, though, is WrestleMania tickets.
Or for the hardcore fans. Most casual wrestling fans, if they're going to go to Mania,
right.
they're buying the nosebleeds for as cheap as possible.
I mean, like, the easiest I can go is, you know, who runs WWE? And if you don't know that, you shouldn't go to WrestleMania.
Correct.
Agreed. I mean, I'm just saying.
Come on.
I mean.
Or, you know, who's the daughter of the owner? I think most fans know that.
Yeah, I mean, part of so many storylines and all that.
But we'll mix it up. Let's go old school today. We'll throw in some old school entrance music.
What is old school?
I'm imagining, because WWE has only really been where it's at for the last 30-something years. So we're going to go from the rock and wrestling era of the 80s, right? Some of the stars from that time going on up. But again, we're going to keep it casual. So
we'll have fun.
When you hear a piece of music, you know.
So it'll either be an hour one, it'll be an hour two, or it'll be an hour three. Yesterday was an hour two. I can tell you it will not be. You ready? An hour two. See what I just did? I'm going to mix it up.
Best local New Orleans sports guy in town, Gus Kattengill.
I love that promo, by the way. You had nothing to do with that, did you?
Of course you love it.
I actually had nothing to do with that. I do. You know that. You know
really?
That.
Really? Me?
Anyway, so it won't be an hour two. It'll be this hour. It'll be in the final hour.
We don't know yet.
Sharif Eishak, 205, just confirmed. Because we will talk with him specifically about a bit and a news story here, Pepito, that we'll get into probably back again involved in this at 12:45. I tweeted this last night. I don't know if you guys paid attention to what happened. He did a interview last night on Sirius XM NFL Radio, I believe. And it was on Wednesday night, so it was late last night. Yeah, Sirius XM NFL Radio. I'm talking about LSU running back Darius Geis. So we've all seen reports or heard stories of the silly questions that are asked at the combine, right? If you were a fruit, what fruit would you be? I mean, things like that.
That's the type of journalism you would ask.
Me? No, yeah. I would. Now, a lot of this is because of psychological profile, you know, that
mm-hmm.
in order to see, Can they handle
put
pressure?
Put them on the spot. See,
right, yeah. Things of that nature. See if they can handle things. Look, just some of those things, I get that, right? An ink blot test or something like that. You know, what can I get? I don't know. There's some people that have absolutely convinced NFL teams that using psychology and sports psychology is a very good way to determine if this player will ever be able to be useful for you on your team. I get it. There's an art and a science to it, Jason. I get it. Can you handle being locked in a room with the lights off? I'm just saying. Some of these things
are
silly.
Is that a real question?
Yes. Well, I mean, can you? I mean, some people are, you know, get a little claustrophobic. Whatever. Like if I closed you in this room right now, windows down in a four-walled room, and I took the lights off and left you in silence there, could you handle it? Some people can't. Like some people are claustrophobic, some can't. Sure. Things that nature. Some people don't like the water, whatever, right? I don't really know what that has you to do with if you can run a route or not.
Yeah, I don't know either, but. Yeah.
But Darius Geis was asked if he liked men. If his mother is a prostitute.
I mean, just basic question, generic questions.
Ask him anything about his 40 time, his bench press,
nothing.
Teammates, things of that nature. Now, I know he's had an interesting background and upbringing that didn't include his immediate family. You can Google the story and see. I mean, it's been a great story. A lot of people have taken him in, coaches from his high school, things of that nature. There's ways to find out if an upbringing has affected you positively or negatively. Interviewing teammates, coaches, things of that nature. Maybe even asking Jason this way. Hey, Darius, the way you got to here in the combine, the road leading up to here, what would you say is the one thing that you had a struggle with the most? And what's the one thing that maybe gave you strength? You understand what I'm saying? And then he can volunteer and offer that. Because what I'm trying to get at is this. I can't think of another situation or another area. If I apply for the Apple Store, this job, any job that I've ever been in, where someone would ask if my mother is a prostitute. Or my sexual orientation. Do I like men? First off, I'm pretty sure it's illegal. In a lot of areas. Jason, you and I have come from the corporate world as well. We've done local radio where it's not corporate and corporate. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a difference. With HR and the way it is now, I mean, you can't even have people, right? I mean, like doors have to be, there's no closed doors anymore really in a lot of buildings. You have to have some sort of glass. I mean, you know what I'm getting? Like if somebody comes in and talks to a manager in the office, the door is always open for the most part. I mean, there's a lot of things, and I can promise you, I have never, have you in any of the interviews that you've had in your life been asked something like that?
God, no. No, and never.
And I'm just saying, no. In general, if somebody walked up and go, by the way, so sorry for your loss, I knew your mom, was she a prostitute?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, you would.
I'm going to be honest, I probably would have laughed at that, but still, you don't ask that.
Well,
like, that's
first
not...
off. You're lucky you don't get punched.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
Secondly, it's such an uncomfortable thing. And I don't even if Darius Geis is or his mother was, that has no relevance on whether or not that guy can run the football. The NFL tries to act itself like it's this super – it's a football game at the end of the day. And I'm sorry. I am so – that is so out of bounds. I was shocked, and I shouldn't be. And it's the hypocrisy of that league and things of that nature in these teams that try to carry themselves so well when half those coaches or owners or front office executives, I promise you, probably don't carry themselves with the high moral standard that they're trying to judge these young men for. And what I think, quite honestly, you're getting a lot of this. I could be off bounds on this. But a lot of people nationally, after they saw or heard Darius say this last night, man, you can start going in a lot of different areas here. Because think of this, Jason. think of the power that's in this room. First off, you're already nervous. We tend to be nervous to a degree, right, on an interview. I mean, you're anticipating, you're excited, you want to do well, you want the job, you know, you want to make sure you come across well.
You're not always 100% natural.
No, right. You know? I mean, it's exactly right.
You have to embellish
right.
and turn it on a little bit.
Well, I mean, the thing is, you want to make sure, because I know me, like, I'll get in the car, I'm like, I could have answered it this way, and I talk too much. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you
always in hindsight,
that way. Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's these kids. Good upbringing, bad upbringing. Right side of the tracks, wrong side of the tracks. Doesn't matter. They've gone through the work. They've gone through the games. They've gone through the game of recruiting. They've succeeded and excelled enough that have gotten invited to the combine. Here it is, Jason. They're in an NFL stadium, in a suite, about to have an interview with an NFL team. You think you're nervous? You think the balance of power is a little different mm-hmm. here, right? All the powers and the gentlemen are sitting, some are talking. Maybe it's just the doctor. Maybe it's just one guy. There's Sean and Mickey or other coaches and GMs just kind of, you know, kind of like thumb to the chin, just kind of not just nodding, not saying anything, knowing you're being judged on how you're dressed, being judged on how you speak, being judged on how you react, everything. It's a little uncomfortable. And to be asked those two questions specifically, I'm sorry. That's a joke. That's an absolute joke. All I know is this. I don't know Darius Geis personally, right? To the point where I like hang out with him or anything of that nature. But we'll talk to Sharif about it at 2:05. Just covered LSU a little bit longer. What I do know is I see the guy always smiling. I see the guy playing pretty positively, play through some injuries, and run the absolute you-know-what out of the football. I mean, that's what I've seen in 3 years at LSU. The guy can fly. He's had a couple 200-yard games. He's always laughing. The guy's probably not even thinking about his football career. You see him doing wheelies on four-wheelers. Guy seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah. Oh, but is your mother a prostitute? Yeah, you're a fine athlete. That's cool.
Do
Great.
You like men?
Yeah. Because that means so much. That matters.
I mean, again, I'd love to get y'all's opinion on this. Out of bounds, not out of bounds, inbounds. I mean, I tweeted this last night. I've gotten some response. EJ, as we go to break, thinks that type of questioning is ridiculous. The only thing I can think is that you want to see how a person would react. But even if that, it's still ridiculous. And again, you're trying to elicit something out of that. I mean, you're asking somebody something that I would say 99% of the people would be uncomfortable with or would not want to be asked that. Sports Hangover continues next. We'll do today's lead. Happens to be your New Orleans Pelicans. They won 10 straight, taking on the Sacramento Kings last night. They go a perfect 4-0 on the road trip. Now, 9 of the next 11 are at the SKC, the Smoothie King Center. Don't forget Hour 1, brought to you by the King Firm. Do not play the game of claims with insurance companies. If you've been injured in an accident, ring the King. Sports Illustrated First and the Advocate's Joel Erickson confirming through a source. Right before we do the lead, Baker Mayfield will have a private workout with your New Orleans Saints.
Don't read too much into it.
No,
yet.
They've had Come workouts on. With quarterbacks in the past. That's what they do. Sean went to Lubbock and looked at Mahomes. I mean, you would expect it. But again, you would expect that. But yeah, it's a private workout. It's kind of like
private workout, and I'm sick of saying it. You know, take a shot every time I say this. The future's in the building.
You want Taysom Hill, don't you?
Who doesn't?
Play the lead.
Time now for the lead. The lead. The lead. The lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Boom! 114-101. Pelicans defeat the Kings for their 10th straight win. It ties a franchise record, Pepito. A little celebratory music because it is The 10th straight win. Tying the franchise record, 38-26 now, fourth still in the Western Conference. Here's the best part about it. By keeping this win streak going, 3.5-game lead now on 8th place L.A. Clippers. Again, you want to build a little cushion. By the way, people were posting that GIF yesterday after the win. Congratulations to y'all.
Davis is unbelievable.
Speaking of Anthony Davis, do you know what happened, Jason, with 3:13 left in the third quarter?
Yeah, we talked about it already.
Yeah. Anthony Davis got injured. Goes up for a rebound. Left ankle comes down on a foot. The Sacramento King. Ooh.
I mean, anytime you twist an ankle, you know, it hurts, especially when you come down somebody's foot because you really don't have no protection. So,
exactly. Alvin Gentry, after the game, really couldn't give us much info on it.
Won't know anything until tomorrow. They took X-rays, but, couldn't really tell a lot from the X-rays. So we'll go back home, and I'm sure he'll have an MRI at some stage tomorrow, and we'll have more information.
Now, what happened right after the ankle, AD?
I mean, anytime you twist an ankle, you know, it hurts, especially when you come down somebody's foot because you really don't have no protection. So it was sore. And I seen Rondo saying, take a foul. I was just taking a foul, and I knew I saw a check going to the table to come get me. So, just wanted to make sure everything was fine.
Follow-up question from a reporter. Was it feeling better? Was it feeling worse since after it got injured? He's what he had to say.
It'll be all right.
Ah! At least I felt better just by it'll be all right. Right? I felt better
unbelievable.
By him saying it'll be all right. We'll play some more sound here coming up because the home streak or the home stands are now coming.
The brow is now.
And he's talking about, it kind of sounds like he's thinking about Friday against the Wizards. So, when that happens, man, you just, right? Ugh. He had 17 points when he left the game. And you're just sitting there going, What did Benson or somebody do? What did somebody do to garner this much bad juju? But as we've been talking about this 10-game winning streak, the Pelicans continue to show signs of growth. Signs of growth meaning that you can lose your star player and others step up. Stepping up last night, Nikola Mirotic. He made 10 of 12 shots and is shooting 56% over the last four games, by the way. And last night led the team with 26 points and 10 rebounds, which is unbelievable when you think about it from that perspective. It was fabulous. Now, again, with him stepping up, help get that win. But Alvin Gentry had this to say on Mirotić.
Well, he's been playing well for us, and I don't look at the stat sheet to understand what he brings to our team or how he plays. So, he did a good job. I thought, Ian came in, did a good job for us, gave us a lift. Each one played well. Drew, when we really needed him to come through, locked in defensively and then scored some big hoops for us.
He did. Drew Holiday, another game for him in which he stepped up to the plate and knocked down some shots. He was 9 of 17 from the floor, 2 threes, 23 points. He had 8 assists, 3 steals, and a block. And my goodness, did he have back-to-back dagger threes, which was kind of funny because AD even saw how they saved the game in the fourth because sort of like the night before against the Clippers, huge lead starts dwindling down. LA got it down to, they took the lead by 2. The Kings got it down to 9, and it was at 10 when Drew just started knocking down some big threes. Mirotić had a big three in the right corner. AD, though, on saving the game in the fourth.
Yeah. Drew took over.
What's that?
Drew took over?
Yeah.
I think somebody made him mad. That's what he was saying. And he took over the game. Migo hit some big threes. Meton, some big shots. But, even though we won, we got to do a better job of, playing better. We didn't play well at all. We can do that against, teams like this. But, to better ourselves, we had to do a better job, at least when I was in there, to make sure that, we execute our game plans and, don't play down to the level of our competition. We went out there and thought it was going to be an easy game. You know, this team's always going to fight. They always fight. They beat us twice. You know, and they're going to fight no matter what, who's on the floor. Towards the end, they was making shots. So we got to learn how to, you know, when we build a lead, make sure we sustain it and increase it.
No doubt. One final bite before we go to the break. Sean Kelly, voice of the Pels, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk a little bit more on this 10-game winning streak. What does it mean, though? Think about that. Tying a franchise record. They can go for history tomorrow night against the Wizards in what I'm expecting to be a nice crowd. I think it's going to be pretty sweet. Yesterday, Fletcher Mack looked it up, and it was around 2,500 tickets remaining. I'll take 15,000, right? Let's sell out 17. I'll take that. I just think the atmosphere and the energy level is going to be fantastic. And again, 9 of the next 11 are going to be at the Smoothie King Center. Drew, on what a 10-game winning streak means.
Man, I think it's just the camaraderie of our team, you know. How well we're playing together, how well we do on and off the court. Even when we get down big or we get up big, we always stick together. So I think that's really, really big for us. And, man, it's fun to play, you know what I mean? It's fun winning. I think it's the first time in my career that I've won 10 straight, but it's fun to play.
There you go. Imagine that. It's fun when you win. Imagine that. Quick break. We come back. Sean Kelly will join us. We'll go into a little more in depth as to what this team has managed to do. So many different signs of growth, and it's continuing. I love it. I'm telling you, man, it was fun watching him again. Because, again, they went into halftime with a big lead. It's before AD got hurt. They're just playing really good basketball all the way around. Shots are going in. They're playing defense, and they're taking care of teams that earlier in the season they were not. Another sign of growth. For sure. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Season on 0 days rest, which would qualify here. Curling down the lane. Holiday drives, dumps it back over his shoulder all the way out to Mirotić, who buries a three.
That is Sean Kelly, voice of the Pelicans. You heard that game right here on ESPN New Orleans last night. That's Sean Kelly Live. It's the way to follow on Twitter. Sean, thanks for being awake right now and able to do this. What time did you guys get in?
Let's see. I think I got home at 5:15 a.m. That's at my house. Woke my son up for school, told him have a great day, went to bed. I literally got up about 40 minutes ago.
There you go. I Googled it, right? Southwest, that's a direct flight, Sacramento to MSY, New Orleans here. It's 4 hours. And that four-hour flight's always better when you have a win. Must have been sweet having a 4-0 road trip, man. Tell us the mood.
The mood's fantastic right now, but it's not, I kind of expected it to be too giddy or like, well, we've conquered the world. And I don't get that sense from these guys. I think that they're truly appreciative of the fact that they've won 10 in a row. And Drew Holiday told us after the game last night that he had never done anything like that in his career in either Philadelphia or here, obviously. So they're elated at the accomplishment. I think they're thrilled also that they secured a winning record for the season. On their road games with that win last night. I know they're excited to get back home. I think when you do something really great at school or with your job and you can't wait to get home to tell your wife or your kids or anything else, I think that's kind of the way they feel with regard to coming home tomorrow night.
I got to ask you, and then we can get into some basketball stuff. AD, did he need a stretcher? Is he in a massive air cast? Could he walk? I mean, he seemed to be in good spirits in the locker room, Sean. I'm having a little fun with that. So, I mean, look, we'll see how an ankle swells, how it heals, and if he can go. Obviously, it just stinks with the momentum. I'm expecting a nice crowd. I'd love to see him play tomorrow. But just overall, your take, I mean, when you land on someone's foot, man, that can go either way.
Yeah, I can only share with you what anybody else would have seen, which was, you know, on the floor, going off the floor last night. The replay didn't look good at all. I mean, gosh, when they slowed it down and you looked at it, you're like, oh, this isn't going to be good. But yet he was walking under his own power, obviously in pain, and had some limp to it. But he also got off the floor under his own power. No one carried him off. He didn't have to be parted off or anything like that. I think those are all encouraging signs. But you and I have both had an ankle here or there, and most of our listeners probably at some time, when you wake up the next morning, it can feel different, good or it can feel worse. And so I don't know what today will be like for him. I know that they'll further examine, you know, the ankle and how he's feeling and everything else. So it's certainly one of those deals that we probably won't have any answers even up until whether he tries to warm up tomorrow or not.
Right.
I don't even know if he'll do that. My guess is that it could have been a lot worse, but then again, I don't know if it's bad enough that he'll miss time. Does that make any sense?
No, it does, because obviously they're going to get an MRI in today, and that's really when you just see it, because you got to look through the swelling, see how much it actually swells, and if it's just a normal turning of the ankle, man. And that happens a lot. If you've ever had ankle injuries, which I've had a ton, you can roll them, just walk into your car, and then it's painful. Next thing you know, I'm jogging after my little 15-month-old. So, I mean, we'll see how it goes. But bottom line, it's a sign of growth. And what I mean by this, Sean, is this. In this year, in games past, right, if you lose AD, you lose Cousins, you lose Rondo, you lose Drew, a team tends to maybe almost lose that game. And in this 10-game winning streak, you're seeing different guys step up and handle a loss or time away from the court in an Anthony Davis and play well.
Yeah, but let's not kid ourselves here. He's the number one reason why you've won 10 games in a row. I mean, he's averaging, nearly 39 a game, although that'll drop a little bit based on the fact that he didn't play a good portion of the second half last night. And he didn't have there was one other game where he didn't have a monster number. It was still over 20, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, look, if you lose Anthony Davis for a game, it's going to be a lot more to overcome than your average guy. So, no, this team does play better, no matter who's on the floor, just because they're in the flow of things and you've got guys stepping up left and right. If there's no Anthony Davis, it's going to be significant. Let's just hope that we don't have to talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm with you. Believe me, I'm looking forward to seeing this team here. 9 of the next 11 over at the Smoothie King Center. We know what the end of March schedule-wise looks like, so you want to get that cushion. And I like waking up 4th in the West, 3.5 above 8-seeded Clippers here. I want to get into Drew Holiday. My goodness, is that guy just playing some incredible basketball. Am I out of bounds saying, what was it, a year ago? I don't think anyone wanted him with the basketball late in the game because there was going to be a turnover. He looked unsure, especially with Cousins on the floor. That almost seems like a different player to the Drew Holiday we're seeing today. Two massive bomb threes, Sean, yesterday to kind of put the nail in the coffin.
He's become Mr. Clutch for this team. We talked about it during the Clipper game that, we were getting into Drew time. And I didn't think I'd ever be talking in those terms,
right,
as he helped them close at Los Angeles, and then last night the two big threes, one of which really was kind of the dagger in the ball game. He has been sensational, and what's crazy here is that just like a year ago, he's still the guy with the ball in his hands at the end of the game. So it's not like he's playing a different position. He's just playing a different position at different times in the game, and his role has changed a little bit. I think that for him, the variety of playing the off guard sometimes as opposed to the point guard all the time has paid dividends. But I also think that he's healthier than he's ever been. He's stronger than he's ever been. Mm-hmm. And he's playing with a confidence right now. And I think that goes for quite a few people on this roster. And Drew is taking each game and building and using it to his advantage in the next. And so that's, I think, the difference between a Drew Holiday of a year ago and what we're seeing now. It is remarkable. He's averaging career high points, career high, I think, field goal percentage and assists per game, more so than when he was an all-star with Philadelphia. So he's truly enjoying his best run as a pro right now. And he's still, this isn't like he's an aging player peaking and that's going to be it. Mm-hmm. I think he's finally realizing what he truly can be in the NBA. He's got a unique skill set, a unique body type. And now that he's had this full season to play in this situation with Rondo, in the situation that was with Anthony and DeMarcus, but now with Anthony, the two of them really have chemistry and are playing off of one another in an explosive way.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, Sean, of back in the day when Tyson Chandler and CP just had that sort of connection back there. And maybe some different sense of their games, but to where you did see a small and a big kind of play off of one another. I have to touch on what Mirotić and Okafor have meant since their arrival. Again, not a lot of minutes for Okafor, 17, but this is kind of his norm, 5 points, but 6 boards and assist. One of those offensive boards turned into an Anthony Davis 3. It's just, it's the little things like that, man, that turn, I think, games around. And Mirotić, my goodness, leads the team last night, 26 points. Afterwards, telling Jan Hale on the TV broadcast, He's working on different aspects of his game, trying to get extra minutes. You're around these guys more than any. What have they been able to bring to the team since they've showed up?
Well, let's start with Okafor, because I think we need to add one more thing, and that's his rim protection. He hit three blocks, I want to say, against the Clippers, one of which was one of the great blocks I've ever seen on a dunk attempt by Tobias Harris, that most guys would probably either get their hand broken or they would end up on a poster. But he jammed him right at the rim between, you know, his hands between the rim and the ball. Mm-hmm. And it could have gone bad, but he's so strong, his upper body's so strong that he's able to not only deny the dunk, but also keep his hand from hitting the rim. It was pretty remarkable. And then even again last night in Sacramento, he had a very key shot block at the rim again in that ball game, caught the shot block and sent it down the floor. So he's doing a lot of little things, a lot of blue-collar things for this team that they sorely needed. And, you know, it's interesting. There was the Greg Monroe rumors, and there was even a Terrence Jones rumor at one point as far as what the Pelicans could do to find a big after the Cousins injury. When they signed Okafor, I was blown away that was even a possibility. Right. And I'm even more blown away that he's doing what he's doing at his age and after being out of the league. He's as important a part as anybody. And the same goes, obviously, for Mirotić, who you mentioned has been, you know, such a key piece of this, especially in the last two games. He seemingly found his shot again. He was shooting less than 30% from three since the trade up until these last two games. And he had a monster game last night. And by the way, he had four threes, I think, against the Clippers as well on Tuesday. So if you're looking at how the Pelicans swept this back-to-back to make it 10 wins in a row,
right?
You might point to him as the MVP if you look at it in a two-game package.
Sean Kelly, voice of the Pels, final question for you. We'll touch on now the Wizards coming to town. 116-106, the last time they played, and that score looks a lot closer than really I remember that game sort of being. AD even touched on it in the locker room, that one. You got the Jazz coming in on Sunday. You know how good they have really been in the last second half of the season here as well. These are all big, man. I get that with so many games that are few. I don't know about you, Sean. I'm expecting a nice crowd. I know since you guys have been away, I'm sure you follow Twitter and everything. A lot of us in the media have been talking about, hey, go out there and look at it. I think you're getting a lot of support here as well. I'm expecting a pretty cool Smoothie King Center tomorrow night. And you got two big games, I think, in the Wizards and also the Jazz on Sunday. Two playoff-style games, I think, just in terms of the talent and just in terms of what the competition's going to be like.
Yeah, well, let's start with the competition. I think that you're right in the quality of the teams you're going to play. And I think that the Wizards matchup will be different than the first between these two teams in that the Pelicans, I think, are better equipped to get back in transition with the lineup they're using. And I think that the Wizards are going to have a harder time keeping up with the pace that the Pelicans now have been playing over the last 10 games. So those things work in your favor. But, you know, Utah is what it is. It's important Western Conference-wise on Sunday. And I think now it's time to be able to, after doing so well on the road, is take advantage of the home floor. And I think you're right. I think it's going to be a great building tomorrow night. I hope it is. And I hope that it's a building where not only is it just full, but we get that feeling that we see in the postseason where you might applaud and sit down and smile at a good play. Perhaps tomorrow night when that team comes out for the layup line, those fans are up on their feet already and making noise. And big plays turn into explosions in that building. And yeah, I think it'd be pretty cool to be able to go to that game as a fan tomorrow night because the Pelicans, you know, as well, will be going for a little piece of their franchise history. They've never won 11 in a row. And I was sitting there looking at the schedule as the winning streak was building, and I thought to myself, boy, wouldn't it be great if they could set the new mark at home? And sure enough, that's the case tomorrow night against Washington. So I think when you roll all those things in, it's going to be great. And don't think that, you know, us in the booth and the players in the locker room haven't noticed kind of the buzz happening back home and that there's a pretty charged up atmosphere for them to come home to. And I think that's great. And I just want to see it come through. I want to see it delivered tomorrow night.
I hear you, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be in that building. Sean Kelly Live is the way to follow Sean Kelly, the voice of the New Orleans Pelicans on Twitter. Thank you for giving us a little bit of your time. I know you're tired, bud, but hey, this is what you want, man. You want people pumped up about this team, and they deserve it. It's been fun. I'm trying not to wake up the kid at night in these late night games because I'm cheering and yelling at the TV just like you are, man.
Well, we get a normal 7 o'clock tip tomorrow and a 3 o'clock on Sunday. So that'll be perfect, and we'll be ready to go. Thanks, Gus.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, bud. There he goes, Sean Kelly. By the way, Pepito, you'll like this. Last time, the team won 10 games. Starting point guard, Chris Paul. Starting center was Emeka Okafor. Anthony Davis was a senior in high school. Price of gas, get this, $3. It's around, what, $225, $230 right now? Number one grossing movie, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. And the number one song in the country, Adele, Rolling in the Deep. 2011, the last time it happened. Todd Graffanini, voice of the Tulane Greenway, previews Tulane Temple, the American Conference Tournament. That matchup's tonight. We'll have more at the top of the hour. Baker Mayfield going to have a private workout with the Saints. They are not alone, though. A couple of other teams, including Joey's Cleveland Browns. Going to have a private Norman workout. Taking a look at that.
Mayfield the boxer.
There you go. Now let's head on over to Orlando, the great state of Florida. The Tulane Greenway with the 10th seed in the American Conference Tournament. They'll take on Temple, the 7th seed. Both teams split this season. Temple a 6.5-point favorite. The game's at 6 o'clock tonight. Graf, how are you?
Good, Gus. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. At NT Graf, the way to follow Ty Graffanini, the voice of the Tulane Green Wave. Ty, you just heard me talk to Sean Kelly. You and I have been texting. You've been watching the two games over there while you're waiting for the tournament. Now, you're an hour really ahead, so you're staying into the wee hours to watch the Clippers and Kings game. Both games, you would agree, as we were texting, probably would have been lost earlier in the season. But, man, there they are, 10 straight.
Yeah. First of all, and I always say this, East Coast time stinks. It really does. I've been pretty much a zombie the last couple of mornings, but you got to stay up these East Coast games when they're out in California when you're watching here. I mean, it's 1 a.m., so you struggle to stay awake, but you got to get it done the way they're playing, and it's been worth it the last couple of nights. So just hopefully, and I know you guys were talking about it, you and Sean, you just hope they come back to a sold-out building tomorrow night in a raucous environment, because those guys deserve it. I mean, they really, really do. And to put themselves, I mean, who would have thought a month ago that they'd be the 4 seed right now, pushing for the 3 seed, basically the best of the rest when you're not talking about Golden State.
Right.
Houston. But that's the situation they put themselves in, and they deserve all the credit.
Yeah, your Pelicans. Hopefully AD's ankle will be just fine. I didn't even notice. If you notice, I didn't even try to play Dr. Cattingale yesterday, man. That's one of those things. We've seen it. You've had ankle injuries. You have pins in there. You just have to wait and see how that feels. And hopefully tomorrow when he tests it and see how it goes and the MRI doesn't reveal anything, you have, because there's only so many players you can keep losing, Todd, and still be winning. It's remarkable they're doing what they're doing right now without Boogie, but you need 23 on that court.
The only good thing, well, there's two good things about last night. First of all, they won the game. Second of all, they won the game with guys having to step up in AD's absence. And I know it's not the way you want to think about it, but AD basically got half a game off. He got rest last night. So he got rest. It was due to an injury, but they proved that they could win if that happened. Now, I thought Sean made a great point. If he doesn't play Friday, they're at a big-time disadvantage. There's only so much you can do. That's one of those situations where, you know, you lose a starting quarterback in the NFL. Maybe the backup can do it for one or two games, but anything longer than that, then you're getting into danger time. So hopefully it'll be okay. I would not be surprised to see him maybe not play tomorrow night and come back Sunday. But, look, I'm not trying to say anything. Just the way that looked, it certainly looked a whole lot worse on TV, the way that ankle kind of bent. But, you know, who knows? Maybe he's obviously, I mean, he's got to be icing it down right now, getting the stem on it, and maybe he'll respond tomorrow night. Who knows?
No doubt he wants to play. No doubt tomorrow, I think, for the home folks. Tulane and Temple, though, tonight, 6 o'clock is the game. Was there that big a difference between the two meetings? What do you expect here? Because Tulane kind of ended a regular season in games just for one reason or another, either a slow start or failing to kind of close at the end, but really in some of those games.
This is actually a very good matchup for Tulane when you go up and down the league. Temple is a really straightforward club. They don't try to fool you. They're going to do it with toughness, and I just think we match up pretty well with them. You know, what's really hurt the two games, and we won up there, which was the conference opener, mm-hmm. and then on Super Bowl Sunday, Temple came in and won. Now, you throw something out there, Melvin Frazier was hurt 2 minutes into the ball game and did not play the rest of the way. And still, you know, watching film with the team during the week, this was a one-point game in New Orleans with 3 minutes left. So we were very much in it despite losing our best player. We just didn't make enough stops down the stretch. And I would say that if Melvin Frazier was in that game, we'd have had a very good chance to win just because not only the way he puts the ball in the bucket, but his defense. And we just could not get the stops that we needed to get in that ball game in New Orleans. So I would expect Tulane to come out pretty hard tonight, as always. And it's like a broken record when I talk about us, Gus. We've got to get off to a good start shooting the basketball. It's really contagious. And it's what the problem is for Tulane, really, in this stretch in the last half of the year, is we've gotten off to such slow starts and have dug ourselves a hole and have had to climb out of it game mm-hmm. after game. The games we started out well, we wound up winning. So it's the first 5-10 minutes are always key in these tournament situations because both teams are really going to try to feel their way through it with this being a neutral court and you're dealing with different sight lines for shooting the basketball. Now, we were able to get out on the court at the Amway Center yesterday, and we got about a 25-minute shoot around in today. So the guys are a little more used to it now than just running out there and playing.
Right.
But, again, I just think it's going to be very key to get out to a quick start because I just don't think that Temple is going to do anything that's going to wow you.
Right.
You know? And like I said, it's been a good matchup for us this year. So,
we'll see it at 6 o'clock. We'll see it. 6 o'clock. Temple, 6.5-point favorites. Follow Graf on Twitter at NTGraf, and then he'll be coming home. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thanks, Goosey.
Sounds good. Hour 2 coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.